Welcome to Wylie United Methodist Church. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you chose to spend your Sunday morning with us. We just sang, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Is he welcome here?
Amen.
Is he welcome here?
Yep.
Amen. Amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, we especially want to know that we're glad that you're here. Hope you find the love of Christ in this place and the love of his people. There is a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Invite you to check that out and to fill that out. You know, as our church gets larger, I've told you this before, that it's frustrating to me because I want to know every one of you. I want to know you. I want to know you to know me. And that gets harder to do as we get larger. But that's still our goal, and if you want to visit us and fly under the radar, that's okay. We allow that, but we would love to know who you are and have relationship with you, and that this blue card helps us to do that. You can fill that out. There's a place if you'd like to be added to our email list. We can do a lot of communicating that way. You can put your email down there and check the box. If the email's there and you don't check the box to be added to our deal, we won't add you to our mailing list. So just know if you want, put your email there and check that box. And you can leave those blue cards in the seat pocket or the seat where you're sitting when you leave today, and we'll pick those up. I didn't tell everything on Gemini. Yeah. Y'all can go ahead and crawl under the seat right now if you'd like. I got to tell you this quick story. These girls, about a year ago, I guess it was, maybe not quite a year ago, but a while back. Oh, come on. Anyway, when we have communion, let me just tell you, one of my secrets. I always have my wife and one of my daughters. They're my plants. If we have the servers, I have people servants that get our servers for us. And so I don't do that. And so when I announce for the servers to come forward, you know, I'm in my head, I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'm making sure we have enough. And I've told my wife and daughters, if we don't have enough, I'm going to point to you and I'm going to ask y'all to come and plug in there. It's kind of my secret weapon. Well, but this particular Sunday, my wife, one of them was in the praise team, and the other two, my wife and other daughter, were serving. And so I get up and we're short. We're short. And so I'm quickly, you know, trying to act like I'm cool, like I got my act together. And I'm scanning the congregation, and I see these two college girls. College kids will do anything. Did you know that? You ask them, like, hey, would you tar the roof of the church? Yeah. You buy me a burrito, and I'll tar the roof, you know, whatever. So I see these two college girls sitting there, and so I looked at them, and I went, you know, and I kind of gave them that, would you come help me kind of thing. If you look up in the dictionary, panic, you know, sheer terror, that's what I saw in their eyes. Just this, just sheer terror. So I moved on, and then I gave them grief later. It's like, well, you left me out hanging, man. What's up with that? Gemini, man. But they have since come to their senses and have served communion with me. Okay. Enough about that. Galatians 5. By the way, while you're turning there, did you know it's okay to laugh in church? Yep. It's not in the Bible, thou shalt not laugh in church. It's not there. It's okay to have fun in church. It's okay for us to relax and enjoy one another's fellowship. Galatians 5. Beginning in verse 16. So I say, this is the Apostle Paul, so I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not know, not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Now just listen to this list. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He wasn't, basically Paul wasn't saying, this isn't an all-inclusive list, this is just, I'm just hitting some high points here. There's a lot more to the sinful nature. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Uh-oh, we just got serious. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We've invited you. Your word says where two or three are gathered together, you are there. We ask you to speak, not me, but you, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority. Change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing the sermon series, week two of the sermon series, Church on Fire. Church on Fire. Now, that's if this church, physical church, had been on fire, I wouldn't be preaching on it. I mean, you'd have probably seen it on the news or something. So we're not talking about a physical fire. Remember last week I told you that church is not a building. Church is not a building. Take your index finger. We did this last week just to test, see if you remember. Now point. That's the church. We are the church. So are we on fire for God? Are we on fire for God? And we know that we accomplish that through the Holy Spirit. That is accomplished in us through the Holy Spirit. Today's message is fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. When I was a little boy, my granny lived in Winters, Texas. And anybody know where Winters, Texas is? Winters Blizzards? Yeah. I was born in Winters and spent many summers in different times going and spending some time with granny. And she had this tree in her backyard. And I've come to find out it was I'd never seen a tree like it. And I've come to find out it was a Texas native black walnut tree. That's some of the black walnut. Anybody ever seen a black walnut tree? Totally, absolutely worthless. But they had these, when I ran across, this is not actually of granny's, the fruit off of her tree, but I just ran across this on the internet, and man, I saw those, and man, my mind flashed back to granny's black walnut tree. I'd seen, they start off that green color when they first come out, and then they start turning black like that. And you, when you get those things off the tree and you start, you know, as a little boy, you know, you all sorts of things, you know, you're cracking them between bricks and all kinds of stuff. And they're just worthless. I'll tell you, the value of granny's black walnut tree was my brother and I had a BB gun. And there's lots of stories I could tell you about the BB gun, but this particular one, we would shoot the black walnuts out of the black walnut tree. That was like a shooting gallery deluxe, man. I mean, we could sit there all weekend long and just pop those little black walnuts out of the tree. But, you know, that tree had the illusion of fruitfulness, but the fruit was worthless. It was worthless. Now, I want to, you know, many of us have seen this part of the country, pecan trees. Show me those pecans. I believe those are Choctaw pecans. Some of y'all that are pecan experts may know better than I, but I was kind of doing some reading on pecan trees. We got many pecan trees in this area, and some years we'll have good pecans and sometimes we won't. But the Choctaw tree is one of the more popular ones because the nuts are big and fat, and there's a lot of meat inside the nut, and they call them paper shell, the paper shell, because they're easier to crack, the real thin shell, and so very popular tree. But we see that year. This year's been a good year for pecans, hasn't it? Yes? It's been a good, yeah. And so you have those years, it's like, man, the pecan trees are just loaded, and they drop those pecans, and it's every man for himself. I remember one time when I was, again, in Winters, my brother and I, we were too old to go trick-or-treating. We were, you know, like 21 or something like that, but And we went up to this lady's house, and we didn't dress up. We just wanted some candy. And, you know, we got our coats, and we kind of put up there and kind of walked up to the house, you know, and knocked on the door. We just wanted us some candy. No, really and truly, we were probably, golly, probably 15 years old or something. And I remember this lady dropped some pecans, still in the shell, dropped some pecans in our basket, you know, our sack. And we left. My brother looked at it, and he goes, "Crud, lady, I could have picked those up out in your front yard." Yeah, he was not happy about those pecans at all. Okay, that's all my childhood stories this morning. God's Word teaches us that there's two ways that we can live our lives. There's two ways we can live our lives. And so I want us to kind of dig a little deeper into this scripture this morning. The first is we can live our lives surrendered to the flesh, the sinful nature that's in us. We come out of the womb, this broken, sinful creature. We have the curse of sin upon us, and we are broken. And also I want to add in there, we have an enemy, the devil, who he wants to steer us towards surrendering to the flesh. He wants us to surrender to the flesh. Listen, there's this opposition going on in Galatians that we just read. Verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And he goes on to say, those who live like this, if you surrender yourself to that, now we're not talking about being perfect people. We're talking about someone who surrenders themselves to the things of the flesh. These are not my words. These are God's word. This is God's word. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. If our lives that we're surrendered to the flesh and we're seeking out the gratification of the sinful nature in us, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's God's word, church. Are we hearing that? And in Paul again speaking to the church in Corinth, he says it this way, 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will enter the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. That is what some of you were, past tense, he's speaking to the church, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems like that's been coming up a lot in the last few weeks of my sermons, and I haven't really necessarily intended that, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember me talking about there's power in the name of Jesus Christ? So we are washed, we are sanctified, we are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the Spirit of God. So the name of Jesus and the Spirit of God is what washes us clean from this surrendering of the flesh. Church, you know, I was just thinking this week that, you know, when I was a young man, you used to almost have to kind of work hard to get in trouble. You know? I mean, if you wanted to be addicted to pornography, you had to kind of work hard at that. You know, you had to sneak around and sleaze around and try to find these places that sell certain types of magazines and stuff. I can remember, this will be news to my mom, I can remember one of my friends in junior high introducing me to pornography. I mean, I'd never seen anything like that. I was in seventh grade, and he had his brother's magazine under a mattress, and he introduced me to pornography. You know, you used to have to kind of slink around and try to find those things in your life. Now it comes after you. We carry it around in our pocket, for goodness sake. And our youth are under siege. Just talk to Jared and Tim. Just talk to Jared and Tim and see what's happening with our youth. I mean, it's like the enemy is coming after us. We had to go looking for him. Yeah, maybe he was still plotting against us, but it used to be harder. But now sin's coming at us, He's coming at your kids and your grandkids. We can choose to surrender to that. Or there's an alternative. There's an alternative. The second thing, second way we can live our lives, we can live surrendered to the Spirit. And, you know, as I think about this contrast, he says in verse 17, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. There's this battle going on for the hearts and minds of us and in God's people. There's this battle going on. The sinful nature is in conflict with the Spirit. And too many times, even Christians, we think that we can just dabble over here a little bit. I just look a little bit. Just do a little bit. That won't hurt anybody, just a little. But it's like it's seducing us to be surrendered to the flesh, the sinful nature in us. But God says that, no, surrender to the Spirit. Surrender to the Spirit. We are washed, we are sanctified, we're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. And because we are surrendered to the Spirit, we now have the fruit of the Spirit in us. I believe, as I look back at Granny's black walnut tree, you know, she didn't have lush, plump, you know, hearty pecans dropping out of that tree. She had worthless black walnuts. Gave the illusion of something something beneficial. But when you got it down and you studied it, you saw it was just a mess. Just a mess. There was no value in those walnuts. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we should exude those things. The Spirit of God should be oozing out of us. Doesn't mean that we walk around in perfection, but we should be walking around with the Spirit of God oozing out of us. People, when you know, should be seeing these kinds of this kind of fruit in us. Love. Now, I'm not going to take each one of these, but I want to just hit a few of them. Love. Our culture, man, are we confused with that word? We think love is love is however we want to define it, and love feels good, and love is, you know, letting everybody kind of do their own thing, and you know, if you want to, it's just you guys read the papers. You guys read the paper. Sometimes love, you know, I've told you this before. Sometimes, in fact, the ultimate act of love was a man hanging like this, with nails driven through his hands and his feet. That was the most loving act of all humanity, right there. It didn't feel good. It was not something that he relished. But it says in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, but for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. What was the joy? It was just this painful mess. People rejected him, his best friends rejected him, deserted him, denied him. What was joyful about that? You and I. Our salvation, our being washed, being sanctified, being justified. That was the joy set before him, that you and I were made right before a holy God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Don't listen to how our world defines love. Listen to how God defines love. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's an action. Love has action to it. Love is not this warm feeling. Feelings betray us all the time. Now, I'll tell you this as a kind of side note. Husbands and wives, love your spouse. Love your spouse. Too many times we're thinking about them not doing a good job loving us. Love your spouse with action. With action. Love the way God loves, sacrificially. And joy. You know, You've heard me use this term before, but man, sometimes we're just around joy suckers. And the challenge to us is, you know, are we the joy sucker? If you're looking around the room, it's like, oh, nobody, I don't see any joy suckers here. Maybe it's you. I'm just saying. If we don't see any, which probably is us. You know, that where you just walk into a room and it's like, man, everybody's, hey, we're having fun. Like Jeff walks in there and says, is that us? Are we the ones? Or do we exude joy? And the really awesome thing about being a Christian is being our best when things or circumstances are at their worst. I've told this story before, but I remember when my brother was killed, and we're in Lubbock at the hospital, and I mean, really and truly, I just felt like, you know, we were just blindsided and we were just a mess, but the peace of God was on us even in the midst of those circumstances. And I remember a nurse saying, "Man, thank you for your family's blessed us." And I was just like, "What? What are you talking about?" And she used that. I'll never forget her statement. She said, "I'm working in a burn center, and every day I see people coming in here in tragic circumstances, and I either see peace or panic. Those are the two things. It's always one or the other, peace or panic. Panic is when we don't know how the story ends. We don't understand who Jesus is and what he's done for us. But when we understand that no matter what this world throws at us, we have a Savior that loves us. Peace that passes understanding. Joy in place of the trials of life." And on, you can see all of these different things that are fruit of the Spirit. So the question is, do we have the Spirit? Now, that's the first thing we need. Do we have the Spirit of God in us? And I will tell you, you could have gone to church every Sunday of your whole life and not have the Spirit of God in you. And I've said this before, but standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. Not that, I know for some of you slower ones, I'll explain that. Michael, I'll explain it to you later. Going to church and being good doesn't give us the Spirit of God. I hope you come to church because it nourishes God in us. It feeds our soul. At least it should. But it doesn't give us the Spirit of God. Jesus said it very clearly in this idea of this conflict between the sinful nature and the spiritual filling. Jesus said, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit." Now, if you'll look at that passage closer, when he says Spirit gives birth to Spirit, Spirit is big S. Big S. The Spirit of God gives birth to our spirit. So there's something that happens supernatural in us when the Spirit of God fills us. And so there's this constant conflict. Now, so first question is, do we have the Spirit? And if we're not sure, I can remember when I was one of those kids, mom and dad, they had us in church every Sunday. I mean, it was never a question. We knew Sunday morning, you get up, you get ready, we go to church. I mean, I was just that kind of a household. But it wasn't until I was 30 years old that I really got it. I had missed it. It wasn't anybody's fault. It's just I'd missed it. I thought being a Christian was serving and being a good person and pleasing God and so on and so on. No, it's not about me being good. It's about God who is good. And I remember when I was 30 and that revelation came, because I was failing at that good part. I was a lousy husband. I was a hypocrite. And it was this simultaneous thing was going on with me. The first thing that God showed me was I felt shame, and he basically confirmed it. You're a wretched man. Yeah, you're a wretched man. But at that exact same moment when he was conveying that to me, he also said, but I love you. And I died for you. And I have washed you white as snow. And I will tell you that, and it was at that moment I feel like I was filled with the Spirit of God, because I saw myself differently, I saw my wife differently, I saw life differently. The Spirit of God changes us. Flesh, and I lived it. Flesh gives birth to flesh. You want to live over here? Okay, try that out on for size. Let's see how that works out for you. And I talk to people all the time who's been living in this kingdom, and things are messed up, and they're broken, and it is just flesh. Gives birth to flesh. It gives birth to brokenness. The enemy knows that, and that's his goal. But Spirit, when the Spirit, big S, when the Spirit of God comes in us and fills us up, then suddenly supernatural things begin to happen in us. He begins to heal the brokenness of this. He begins to heal that. He begins to change us. He begins to set our feet on a new path, a new direction. So how do we receive this Spirit if we don't have the Spirit of God in us? How do we receive? Just simple, you know, Jesus, you can usually just go read the quotes of Jesus and you can figure a lot of stuff out, church. Did you not know that? Anybody got a red letter Bible? Just start with Matthew and just start reading the red part. See if he doesn't rock your world, the things he says. Well, here's one of the things he says. If you then, he's speaking to his disciples, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. I won't stop there for a second. Yesterday, Cheryl and I went garage selling, you know, and we, you know, I looked around and all these infant tables, you know, it's like all these little grandmas going around, circling around and, you know, checking. Anybody ever seen that? Anyway, I digress. But we do the best we can. We give the best gifts that we can give. But he's saying, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask. You want to know how to receive the Holy Spirit? Ask. Ask the Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need you. In just a moment, as we conclude our sermon today and the service, I'm going to baptize Eve. And one of the things that I'm going to say over Eve, pray over Eve, is a filling of the Holy Spirit. Because God's Word tells us that we repent of our sin, we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, and we confess Him as Lord and Savior, and we will be filled. The Holy Spirit's not just going to be out there somewhere. He's going to be in here. And I want to tell you, I don't know about you, I need the Holy Spirit. I need Him. I think I write a song, but every hour I need Thee. I think I'm going to write a song that says that. That just divinely came to me. Probably sell millions of copies of that. I just need Him. Do you need Him? I mean, is life wearing you out? Is it wearing you out? How about we take on some of this fruit of the Spirit, love? Don't you just think about these words? Don't you just want this oozing out of you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Don't we want that in our lives? Don't we want others to see that in us? By the way, when we live like that, it gives glory to God. Our lives filled with the Spirit, when we are exuding the fruit of the Spirit, we bring glory to God. If you would, just bow your heads with me. I know many in this room have received the Holy Spirit long ago. We, in all honesty, we're kind of afraid of that word because too many times man... we can make a mockery of the things of God. And we think that if we have the Holy Spirit, you know, we may roll around in the aisle and embarrass ourselves. That's not what we're talking about here at all. We're talking about power. Power to glorify God, power to resist sin, power to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to God. So if you want that Holy Spirit, and you're not quite sure if you've ever received Him, I want you to just kind of pray this prayer in your own heart with me. Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, I need You. I need Your Holy Spirit. I confess that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of Your mercy. Forgive me, Lord, from all unrighteousness, all that's unrighteous that's in me. I claim Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Wash me white as snow and fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Make me a new creation. May the fruit of Your Spirit leak out of us. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, amen. Eve, if you want to go on back, and as we close this service, I just want to remind you that I'll be baptizing Eve in just a moment as we finish up, and sure would love for you to stay for that. If Jesus Christ, if maybe you know you feel Him doing something in you, maybe something new and different, or maybe just rekindling what's been there and has grown cold, I invite you to hang around and visit with me. You can come forward here as we sing this last song, or you can talk to me after the service. One of the most important things, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal what God is doing and take from us what God is doing in us. And one of the ways we combat that is to share it, to speak it with our word, to share with someone else what's going on, what God is doing. So as we stand, as we close.
Lord, I want more of You. Living water rain down on me. Lord, I need more of You. Living breath of life, fill me up. Come and fill. Thirsty, oh Jesus.
be seated, or you can remain, whatever, remain standing. You can position yourself wherever you want to see. Miss Eve, come on up. Huh? All right, if you'll stand right there on that bottom, that's the bottom level right there. If you'll stand right there for just a second, and in a minute I'll have you turn around and sit there. Eve, you've already confessed. We did this in the office, so you're getting a double dose. You might get two mansions in heaven. Who knows? You've already confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repented of your sin. You've already received him in that capacity. And so now I'll just ask you, do you wish to be baptized in that faith?
Yes, sir.
Amen. If you want to turn and sit there. If anybody wants to come closer, I know you have several of you ladies that support Eve. Y'all come on up. Anybody that wants. If you'll turn and sit right there, Eve. And I'll get you to hold your nose here in just a second so I don't flood your brain. You want to film? Anybody wants the video? Well, that's, you just go right ahead. All right. Okay, Eve, if you'll hold your nose there. Eve, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. Awesome. All right, y'all, come in here. We're gonna pray over Eve. If you can reach. If you can't, that's okay. All right. Lord God, we thank you that you hung on a cross for Eve, that you were on her mind. The joy set before you on the cross was Eve, and we rejoice in that also, God. Your word says that the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner comes to repentance, and we rejoice with them. Fill Eve from the top of her head to the tip of her toe with your Holy Spirit, God. May she just empower her. I pray for her spiritually. I pray for her physically, God, that you would strengthen her body. Father, you would just empower her to be the lady that you have called her to be, you have created her to be as your child. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. We are dismissed.
Lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you.